VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Ruck. We're in Auckland and it is 2 days until the first test. The teams have been announced today. Good news, Owen Farrell confirmed is fit to play. And further good news, there is a saying in Lions circles that a Lions tour has never really started until Alex Lowe, the former chairman of the Rugby Writers, has arrived. And yesterday afternoon, we arrived into town from Hamilton, and there he was, a vision in denim, waiting for us, greeting us at the bar, and the tour has finally started. Alex, it's great to have you here. How are you, and where on earth have you been?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me. I've been at home watching everyone working hard and following the tour from home, wishing I was here. It's good that the Times replacements are coming from further afield than the Lions replacements. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it on tour. It was great to be here.
And seriously, though, you've been here 48 hours. What are your first impressions of the tour, the general feeling around the place, and how you think it's all set up at the moment?
I've just walked here from where I'm staying, and there are just Lions fans by the hundreds as I walk through, and there's a real sense of occasion building. First day here, I went to see the All Blacks, and Ian Foster was up, and there's a sense of occasion about it. I suppose I'm coming in. You guys have been on the train for 3 weeks or so, and have probably got the idea of it building up. But I'm stepping onto that kind of moving train. It feels like there's a real something big on the horizon, which obviously there is.
I'm sitting next to Steve Jones, who has been on every single Ruck podcast since it was invented. Steve, how are you? And do you feel this sort of sense of impending excitement that we've been building to ever since we got here?
Of course I do. I went for a walk around Auckland, around the viaduct in Harbour area today. I tell you what, you couldn't walk 20 metres without passing Lions fans. It's an absolutely massive build-up. As we know, I don't know if Alex is aware of this, there were loads and loads of people from the very start, but the two veterans now have been joined by Alex, like the Johnny come latelys, and God bless them, because it's great to see Alex here, and also great to see all the fans. It's building up, massive sense of occasion, and just unless I'm reading it wrong, a kind of hope for the Lions.
I think there's hope. We were at the Hamilton game, the Chiefs game, 2 days ago. That put another spring in the step, didn't it? That was a little bit more momentum. Alex, you watched that game from up here in Auckland. Do you get this impression, or do you think we're kidding ourselves? You know, we want to believe. We've seen two victories on the trot. We can see a game, a style developing. Do you get that impression of momentum?
Oh, certainly. And the Lions tours, if the Lions are going to have any hope at all, they need that momentum. I was interested to see that the reaction from up here in Auckland when you were in Hamilton, and the feeling that the Kiwis here are excited by the way the Lions have developed. You know, they want a competitive series. There's a reason that the Lions are still outsiders, the All Blacks are favourites to win 3-0. But I think the way that the Lions are developing their game, some of what we saw in Hamilton, getting the wings involved, or the wings almost being allowed to get involved, has added a new dimension to the way the Lions attacked. The team, which I'm sure we'll discuss in a minute, that they've picked today suggests an extra layer to their game plan. And the All Blacks have woken up to that. And I think it shows that the Lions are building. You can't expect them to be the finished article even now, but certainly not week one. And I think that was something that, the All Blacks and the New Zealand rugby public really noticed from that Chiefs game in particular, that the Lions have built a momentum, they're building a style. You know, listen, they're still outsiders, but I think that there's an expectation that it will be a kind of a hell of an occasion, because it's not a guarantee that the All Blacks are going to win.
Okay, now we'll go through the teams and talk through the teams that are announced. We're going to rush onto that really, because we know that Alex has brought us lots of gifts from home, which we're looking forward to cracking into later.
Do you want me to announce the teams? Like,
yeah, like your proper
James Alexander Gordon.
Yeah,
remember that bloke used to read the results.
Jaggers.
Was that what they called him?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the All Black team is Joe Moody, starting with the loose head prop. Joe Moody, Cody Taylor, Owen Franks, Brody Retallick, Samuel Whitelock, the front five as we expected. Back row, Jerome Kino, Sam Kane, Kieran Reid coming back. First game for ages. But let's remember that he's had a thumb injury, so there's no problem with his endurance, because he's been training it normally. The backs, Aaron Smith, Bowden Barrett. Rico Ioane on the wing is a really big shock to most Kiwis. Sonny Bill Williams, Ryan Crotty in the centre, Israel Dagg, who's not been playing very well on the other wing, and Ben Smith at fullback. So some surprises there. I think whoever was going to mark Survey will be glad he's not there. And it's got the same number of surprises as the Lions, really. But it's a strong side. They haven't played for a bit. You can't count the game against the Samoans as a game. And exciting.
Survey doesn't even make their bench, does he? They have Leonard Brown as their spare backline player. Alex, you're at the All Blacks press conference today. Was there a general surprise amongst the Kiwi scribes?
I think there was about Ioane, although the way he's been playing Super Rugby, that just his tries. I think he's got 10 tries this season in 14 games, and he's top 10 in all the kind of attacking areas of the game. And I think two things that struck me. One, the All Blacks have no qualms about picking a player when they believe that player is ready. And if you think 2015, Nehe Milne-Scudder kind of broke through Super Rugby, and by the end of that year, he was scoring a try in the World Cup final. Rico Ioane, he's been in their system, he's played sevens at the Olympics, he's been in under-20s, he could have been at the under-20 World Cup that New Zealand have just won.
They were rubbish at the Olympics, though, weren't they?
They were rubbish at the Olympics, but it's all learning.
Yeah, we don't mean to gloat.
No. Also, let's not give him too much. I mean, I got an email from a great friend of mine and a famous coach at home who was drooling over the All Blacks. I mean, let's be fair, Dagg and Ioane were poor on this tour against the touring team. So, you know, we're not up against 15 Dan Carters here or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, the Lions won't give him too much respect, and that is quite right. Also, got to remember, I know reffing's a boring topic, but two of the three referees, the two Frenchmen in the second and third test, will not just let them play the way they want to. And I don't think Jack or Paper will either. I think Paper's not there to referee a fast game. He's there to referee the game.
Yeah, I'd just like to qualify that. Jonesy, Ioane against the Lions when he's playing for the Blues was destructive and annihilated Jack Nowell. Then he played for the Maori and he looked distinctly average. So he's had one very dangerous game and one quite the opposite, when the Lions attack closing down and there was more pressure.
The other area that I was going to mention is the midfield, where they Sonny Bill Williams starts with Ryan Crotty outside him. Against Samoa, they had Anton Leonard Brown. Steve Hansen was saying today that they actually see Leonard Brown doing for this team what Sonny Bill did for the All Blacks in the World Cup. They're going to start with Crotty at 13, more sort of a steady, experienced head, and then they feel as the game breaks up in the last 20-25 minutes, they want to bring on Leonard Brown to try and open it up. And they've got three players there who could start in any combination in the midfield.
They're a good looking side, but I think Gregor McTrossach's writing in the New Zealand Herald. I think even he may be thinking, "Oh blimey, what's going to happen if the old country beat my new country?" So you never know. I'm sure McTrossach's is just starting to scratch his head a bit now.
I'm glad you brought up McTrossach, because we haven't spoken about him for at least 3 days. In fact, since the last podcast. But seriously, on the McTrossach subject. There's has been a change of tone in the New Zealand media generally, where the odd McTrock accepted. I mean, the Chiefs game on top of the Maori game seems to have been given a second view as to what's coming up against the All Blacks on Saturday. Do you not think this seems to be a slight change of viewpoint? And I went to see Andrew Mertens yesterday, who is a columnist for the Times, and he was saying, interestingly, there's an All Blacks dinner tomorrow night, or rather a former All Blacks dinner. Every year they have a reunion dinner for anyone who's worn an All Blacks shirt gets invited. So it's a big old thing. He says there's always sort of 300-400 All Blacks there. They are all offered two tickets for the big game the next day, which is half the reason they come. And he was saying that all the young fellas, the people who played in the team and have known All Blacks rugby since basically 2004, when the All Blacks have been winning everything, he said they'll be striding in thinking that the world is at one and that they'll win this series quite straightforward. He says that's not how I feel. He says he knows that Justin Marshall is his big mate, but doesn't feel that way. And he says that he loves speaking to the players from the 70s and the 80s. And he said that those are guys who've seen it all and know it all. And he said they won't have that opinion at all. He said there will be fear in the room. So,
well, the thing is, the respect is a big issue for the Lions, because in 2005, on or off the field, they weren't respected. On this tour, especially the host unions and the host teams and the host supporters are very, very much more respectful. I don't mean calling them a good side when they're not. It's going to save the rugby economy from complete oblivion. And I noticed this Lions team is more respected. And I think in terms of the media, I have to say, with perfect honesty, apart from Matrosek, I never read or listen to any of it, but I just think that they couldn't be as bad for long as they were early in the tour. I mean, they lost the two midweek games. They'd be much better in the two Saturday games, and I think people are now realizing they are a team. I'm not overwhelmed, brimming with confidence, but people realise it's going to be the most... Don't forget, the All Blacks haven't played anywhere, because the last rugby championship was your grandmother would have won it. So they've not played a really tight test for some time, and I think this may well be a tight test. Mm.
I'd just like to say at this point that we hugely treasure Stephen Jones's view, who has got through this whole tour on one shoe. Now, we're going to move on a bit, and we will return to the shoe later. So, Alex Lowe, in your best James Alexander Gordon accent, will now read the Lions team for Saturday.
Liam Williams at fullback, Anthony Watson and Elliot Daly on the wings, Jonathan Davis and Ben Teo in the centres, Owen Farrell and Connor Murray, and then up front, Mako Vunipola, Jamie George, Tyg Furlong, Alan Wynne-Jones, George Cruz, Peter Omani as captain at blindside, Sean O'Brien and Taulupe Faletau, and plenty of oomph on the bench. Ken Owens, Jack McGrath, Kyle Sinclair, Maro Itoji, Sam Warburton, Rhys Webb, Johnny Sexton and Lee Halfpenny.
Great example of the Gaelic fluency there, the Tadhg Furlong from Arthur.
Well,
he's obviously been at his Gaelic seminar again, religiously.
Arthur's been to Tadhg's farm in Ireland. Oh, they're good old mates, aren't they?
It's Tadhg, actually.
Tadhg.
It's tiger without the R. Tadhg.
Well, you see, that's why the Lions tour didn't really start until now, because we've been saying that. That's so good. I'm so pleased you're here. Can we mark this team out of 10 as to how positive we are? I would give it, I'll give it an 8, because I would like to see Maro playing. I really like the two surprises in the back three. Steve?
Look, first of all, it's back out of 10. In terms of, I can see why every person in the 23 has been chosen. Every single one. Which is remarkable, because I can be a bit of a stroppy bastard. And
no.
I always try and find something that's wrong, because I think that's what journalism is as well. It's not being Matrosek's, it's finding things that are wrong. And I agree with you about the back row, about the back three. George North, part of me says, look, for God's sake, George, get out there and just win one test for us, then you can go home or whatever. But very, very good. I can see the reason for everything. I wish, and as I've been saying for weeks on every podcast, that they trained up Maro Itoji to play at 6, because that's where I would have chosen him for this game.
Thank goodness Barnes isn't here. He would have called you ignorant for saying that, as he did to me earlier on in the week.
Jonesy, if Maro had been at 6, who would have captained the team? Alan Wynne.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
so you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't get in too much of a tiz about the captain. As Warren's always says, you pick the team. Mm. You're not going to pick, oh man, he's a good player though he is just because he's captain.
No,
actually, Munster don't have him as captain very often. Alan Wynn would have been fine. Owen Farrell would have been fine. I would just like to see him out there. I've got no objection to O'Mahony, but I just think that this monster would have been nice. But having said that, if the lines are in touch with 20 minutes to go, and he comes on, and I got this impression he may come on, not with 20 minutes to go, but with 35 minutes to go. So we'll see.
I think the Lions, as every team that plays All Blacks is aware, the way they win generally is to put the foot down on the accelerator in the last 20, 25 minutes. They pull away. There's a stat that they outscore their opponents in those last 20, 25 minutes by an extraordinary amount. Mm. And so I think to have, you know, I don't like the idea of finishes necessarily, and Marrow is a player who I don't think fades during a game, but they're obviously aware that if they could bring on a player like Carl Sinclair, like Marrow, like Reece Webb, they can inject some energy and some dynamism just at the point when the All Blacks like to take control of a game.
The real essential part of this team, boys, is that Warren Gatland is not going to die not knowing, is he? He's put it out there. You can say it's a gambler's hand, which says he's chancing his arm. But what he's doing is he's not playing it safe, and he sort of seems to acknowledge that playing it safe ain't going to do the job.
No, quite right. But I also think that the midweek team, he did say, you know, I'm going to look at the evidence and I'm not ruling anyone out. I think Liam Williams and Elliot Daly came in on the rails, like winning the derby in the last two strides, and put themselves in contention by playing really, really well at Hamilton. So I think he's been true to his word. And the other thing is, just remember, we're saying Warren Gatland's team, there was a big debate and an angry debate. So it's not actually entirely his team, it was done by the selectors. I think they've got it as well as they could. I wish we'd had another 2 weeks, and the Lions rather, had two more weeks and three more games, that they haven't, and they're as ready as they'll ever be.
Alex, as an athlete, I've got a particular question for you here. So, Liam Williams, he played the full 80 on Tuesday, and he's going to start again on Saturday. So that just doesn't happen in the professional world. If you had played the full 80 on a Tuesday, do you personally think you'd be able to give your best on the Saturday 4 days later?
I would if it was a Lions test match. Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I think that, yes, he played 80 minutes. I think the recovery time for a back is quicker than for a forward, for obvious reasons. They're not hammering away, especially a Lions forward, the way that the Lions pack have been playing that big kind of phase after phase. He'll be fine. I'm sure he'll be fine. Especially he's got a chance to start a test match. And I think Liam Williams is probably the player who, to me, sums up what you're saying about the Lions won't die wandering. He's last summer down here with Wales, he was the kind of the rapier. He was the one who caused the All Blacks more problems than anyone else, running from deep. He started the tour poorly. He mistimed two high balls, got himself binned. I thought the next game he looked incredibly wobbly under the high ball, like he lost all his confidence. And that will slightly concern the Lions, I think.
That's certainly my worry on that count.
Yeah, but then in midweek he sort of got his mojo back, as did Jack Noll. It was almost like the Lions had suddenly allowed themselves to take their attacking game to another level. One thing that Warren Gatland said today was that he is prone to a brain explosion, and that I suppose is where you're saying, listen, here's a guy who can carve something out of nothing, who can add some sparkle behind the sort of the heavy midfield running of Ben Teo and the and what they will hope will be a pack to get them on the front foot. And more than Elliot Daly, for me, Liam Williams is the player that represents Gatland's mindset of, listen, we're going to have to go out and try and do something here.
I think for me, the thing about Williams is it is a real coach's call. It's a real about coach understanding a player, because if you'd said from Tuesday which of the three back players would you promote to the Saturday Test team, you would, well, on the evidence of that one day, you'd say probably Jack Nowell first or Elliot Daly. They both play very well, and Liam Williams third. As Alex says, Liam's had good and bad, and so this is a real coach's decision, saying I know this guy and I think that he will deliver. Despite the evidence, the mixed evidence that's out there.
Very, very true. I totally agree with that. I mean, Liam Williams, Wales used to have this thing that was innate. The people came up, and there's something badly wrong in the development that was those innate skills not there. But when he let that ball drift across his body to make Jack Rowell's first try, that just took me back. Because that's what Wales players are supposed to be. And he's also a footballer. People think, what is he like under the high ball? He's a footballer. He'd be absolutely fine under the high ball. Having said that, we should say, looking back a few days, I just thought it was wonderful that Jack Nowell got those two tries and looked like himself. Because he's a great character for Exeter. He went looking for work. When he jumped over the ruck to score, I thought that was brilliant. It's my moment of the tour.
I look at that game, and Gatland said this a few times to us. He says, don't just look for that first team for that first test, because it will change. And I think you can look at, especially at Tuesday's game, and you can see a Jack Nowell in a second or third, a Courtney Laws, for instance. Those two would be the players that I could envisage making that leap. But there are others. I mean, I've just loved Ian Henderson on this tour, despite his first tragic day. But we must stop judging anyone on that first day. Yeah.
I think Laws, there can't be a player certainly on this Lions tour and on many a Lions tour, who could have done more to get himself into the Test team and still not make the 23. He's been extraordinary all year for club, for country, and on this tour. Every time he plays, he influences things. He ruins lineouts. He smashes defenders. He's been monumental this trip, and he still can't make the 23, which shows the strength and depth in that area. And it's unfortunate for him that he can play so well and still not make it. I can't imagine there have been many players who will have made such a strong case and still not got in.
So Auckland's filling up rapidly with men and women in red shirts. Jonesy, you were out and about, so what have you been doing?
Well, first of all, I had a very odd experience in the gym, because as I was going through my routine, there was another guy there who was on one of those cross trainers. And all you've got to do is pull with one hand and then put your other foot down and then reverse it so your arms are going up and down. But this bloke couldn't do it. He couldn't even work a cross trainer.
We're not going to persevere with this. This is ludicrous, this conversation. Carry on, Stephen.
All right. I'll tell you what, I didn't have to look like you. This morning I met the Lions ambassadors. They think that they're 10... youngsters. They're 10 people who are just end of school or early in their careers in university. And their job is to go around representing the Lions, and the Lions tracksuits on, and it's to discuss the fall-off in rugby between 16 and 24, which is the big fall-off area, drop-off area, where we lose numbers. And my goodness, they were absolutely magnificently impressive. They're run by Steve Keith Granger at the RFU, and they've been all over the country. They've been talking to various sporting bodies, to New Zealand Rugby, and they're going to report back to the Lions board on Sunday. That was very, very uplifting to see them. And also uplifting this evening, I'm going to have a quick beer and a bite with Gareth Chilcott, the great prop who's been in serious trouble with a transplant, but has come through it strongly, putting on a bit of weight, and which is great news, because life is more important than rugby. So I'll be seeing Coochie Chilcott later.
Okay, and one of the reasons, I should have mentioned this from the start actually, one of the reasons we were so pleased to see Alex is he's brought the best footwear on tour that maybe anyone's ever seen. Alex, can you describe your new pumps?
Just a pair of trainers. Nike trainers. I don't know, they go quite natty, but...
You're quite modest about your fashion wear, aren't you?
Well, I can't really boast, because the first day I arrived, I went to the All Blacks press conference, and beforehand, the only other British journalist in town was Mick Cleary from the Daily Telegraph, and I rocked up in a shirt, and Mick said, oh, I've got that shirt, which I went straight home and burned it and sat the stylist, because if I'm sharing a wardrobe with Mick Cleary, then things aren't going well. So I can't really boast about my shoes if I've already also got the same shirt as Mick Cleary.
And so Mick Cleary is just about to join us in this podcast. Mick! No, he couldn't make it. But on the subject of shoes, is that what you were about to say, Steve?
Yeah, well...
Okay, so Steve has heroically... Have you hopped around New Zealand? First of all, let's just talk us through. Steve's foot... How big is your shoe, Steve? That's bigger than...
15.
Genuinely, you are a size 15?
15, yeah.
Right.
You know what they say?
What do...
I got what happened was it's perfectly simple. I got two huge shoes, brand new ones. I left one in Christchurch, and the shoe was then following me round in the post service. But it kept on arriving at the hotel the day after I left, and then it was sent on. So it went to three hotels, but it's triumphantly come into the Auckland Hotel, this wonderful hotel on the viaduct that we're on. So I'm reunited with my shoes. And I think with Alex's pumps there, I think you're supposed to, when you finish 10-pin bowling, I mean, you're supposed to give them back.
But on the subject of our dear friend Mick Cleary of the Telegraph, how was he, Alex? Because they've had a traumatic time. Our rivals, the enemy from the Telegraph, haven't they? They haven't had quite the accommodation, the luxury that we live in. Did he share his fears with you?
Well, I understand that. I mean, Mick's probably been all right, but I understand that his colleague Gavin Mayer has just had an infestation in his motel room.
And Gavin's a brave guy, isn't he? I mean, we're not talking a soft sort of bloke here, are we? We're talking a proper tough Ulsterman.
We are, although I imagine he was jumping onto his chair when that mouse scooted around his bedroom, which he then never found. So it's been a bit of a theme for him. He's been searching for mouse holes in every hotel room.
It's typical. We know that Telegraph are struggling as a group, and I wouldn't have thought they'd put their people in those sort of things. But there was vermin in his room. But Gavin Mayers said his own version of the events was that he saw the mouse. He remained calm, went to reception. But Tom Hamilton of ESPN, who's in the next room, testified to a loud squeak, a loud shrieking noise, a crashing of the tables, and Gavin ran into the corridor and down to reception. Hope of looking behind him in case the mouse was chasing him.
As you say, Tossie, a really tough Ulsterman.
gents, two days to go. We are just going to finish this podcast, the eve of test podcast, with some predictions. Before we came out here, there was a fairly negative vibe. Well, not vibe, but a set of opinions. I don't think people really had that much hope. Have we changed at all, Jonesy?
I'm fighting to, you know, you can't let events like the fans coming in and then improve Lions performance. You can't let it get on top of you, because we are journalists, and in this room, two good ones at least. And no, I was being modest about myself. I meant you two. And I think that it's a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. I'd still be amazed if the Lions won the game because of all the inbuilt problems, but it will be competitive. I'm really looking forward to it.
Alex?
I could only agree. I think the danger, I suppose, everyone feared 6 weeks ago was that the Lions would be obliterated, and then we have the same conversation about what's the point in it? Can it work? I'm as confident that on Saturday we'll see a proper test match, and I would still back the All Blacks to win, but I think the Lions will absolutely prove their value in that game. I don't think they'll win it, but I think they will prove that it's a concept that we must continue.
You've got to go for the Lions, Lottie. You've got to go for the Lions.
Okay, Jonesy says I have to go for the Lions. I will back the Lions. I think they'll win the second test. I think the first test comes too early for them. This is a theme that we've talked about from the very first rut. They're getting better and they're getting better, but it's like, can they catch up? Can they catch the train? I think it's just going to leave, and they might catch it next week. Thank you very, very much for joining the Ruck. We'll be back early next week to review the first test, and please join us then. First test starts 2 days' time.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.